direction. Won't he walk with you? Won't he talk with you? Won't he bless your life? Say yes. I believe that Peter was encouraging them to let them know that it's not going to be.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Kempty, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Kempty, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, our personal Savior, we thank you for the privilege now of hearing your word. Speak to our hearts, God. Meet us where we are, then lift us to the place you would have us to be for your glory and for our good. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said, amen. God bless your hearts this morning. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Psalms number 69. Psalms number 69. Right around the middle of that number, I want us to look at verse 16. Psalms number 69, verse 16, recorded of these words. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to talk about the measure of God's mercy. The measure of God's mercy. One of the things that we must recognize as David pens this word, this cry for help, is a personal cry. It is a passionate cry. And as David makes this petition known before God, one of the things that I love about this particular number of Psalm, as David cries out for the mercies of God, he makes some things clear to God. And first of all, he wants God to understand that he understands, he knows he has not been perfect. That he's not done everything he ought to have done, not said everything he ought to have said, not been everything he ought to have been. But nonetheless, he was God's child. And being God's child, he recognized that God himself had already put in place some mercies that he promised to his children. One of the things that I love about the word, my brothers and sisters, is if we learn the principles of God's word and begin to practice those principles, we will discover that in every situation, every circumstance, that God already has an answer to our issues. He's already got everything in place that is necessary to sustain us, to redeem us, to deliver us, to restore us, to bless us. One of the things that we must recognize is that there are just some things that we do that hinder and slow down the blessings that God desires to place over our lives and on our lives and in our lives. And when we come to that understanding and we call out to God and we repent for our ways, God is faithful to meet us in our every challenge. We look at this word again, if we just walk through it, he starts off in verse 1 saying, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me." Now, first of all, he starts to admit, "Lord, I'm dealing with some stuff I just can't handle. And I don't care how saved you are, how sanctified you are, how filled of God's spirit you are, there will be times in your life when there will be challenges that will be greater than you can handle. There will be issues that will seem to overflow you. You may be able to stand, but there will be times when they literally overpour you so much so that even in standing, you can't even tip your nose above the water. And all you need to recognize is that God is a very present help in those times of trouble. Look at what he goes on to say in verse 3. "I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God." Have you ever been in a place like that? Where you just got sick and tired of crying? Where your throat got so dry you could barely whisper a word and it even hurt for you to talk? Listen to what he says. He says his eyes fail him while he wait for his God. And it almost seems, and sometimes it doesn't take a long time, it can just hit so hard and hurt so bad that the flowing of your feelings and emotions are such an extreme that it depletes you of all of your own energy and ability to stand. And it almost seemed that in that little bit of time that it's taking God an eternity to show up. Listen, my brothers and sisters, the word goes on, and now he turns his attention to these enemies that were without. He says, "They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head." Undoubtedly, he was not like me. He had some shown up enemies, and they were plenteous. The hairs of his head suggested that there were so many they could not be counted. But here's the problem. You can deal with the folk that hate you, and you know why they hate you. But what gets you is when the folk hate you and don't even have a cause, no reason. You don't even understand why they're tripping like they are concerning you. You had no dealings with them. And look at what the word says, "Without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me," it's not just hurt me, harm me, "they won't do me in, take me out, destroy me." Isn't that this? "Being mine enemies wrongfully are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. Oh God, thou knowest my foolishness." Listen. "And my sins are not hid from thee." I'm not trying to act like I'm perfect, Lord. I ain't trying to act like I ain't did nothing wrong. I'm not trying to act like I'm all of that. Let's get the record straight. Nothing I've done has been hidden from you. Nothing I've said has been hidden. No place I've been has been here. I know you know everything there is to know about. See, that's when God will hear you, when you're honest enough and real enough to tell him that you know, I know that I ain't right, and I know you know. Lord, I wish I had a helping house, that I'm not right. But look at what he goes on to say. "Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake.
Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel, because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house had eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproached thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. Man, it's as if David had hit the lowest of low. Looked like everybody that was somebody, and even those that were nobody, picked on him and talked down upon him, looked down upon him, spoke down upon him. Matter of fact, made sport and made a song about him. All to his reproach. And then he says in verse 13, but as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. Listen to what he says. Lord, I thought to call you up while you were still taking calls from me. See, when he says in an acceptable time, it means while God's heart is still open, while his ears are still open, while his eyes are still open toward him. You see, that reaches a time, my brothers and sisters, and that's why when we fall, when we mess up, when we sin, when things happen in our lives, we ought not wallow and whine. We need to go immediately to God and cry unto him for him to hear us and help us, as only he can do. And listen at this. He says again, verse 13, but as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy deliverance. This word salvation in this term means deliverance. Now he's making something clear to the Lord that he understands. He's saying, listen, in the multitude of thy mercy. One of the things I love about the mercies of God is that it's multidimensional. And because it's multidimensional, he has a mercy for my every misery. I don't believe somebody got that today. I said he has a mercy for my every misery. And so when I begin to look at this thing and understand this thing, the way that David is speaking about this, he's literally saying something that is helpful. And I'll move quickly to the 16th verse where he says, hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Now notice the next word, turn. Amen. Turn. Now he says, turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. The word turn suggests that he selects the proper mercy for my misery. See, in other words, God has so many mercies that they compass my life. And maybe the mercy I needed today was not the mercy I needed yesterday. And maybe the mercy I may need this evening is not the mercy I need this morning. So it's as if he says, dial a mercy that fits my case. Turn is what he's saying. God, to the mercy that will allow you to step in my situation and help me as only you can. Because I've called on you for mercy before, but the mercy I needed in the last situation I was in is a different mercy than the mercy I need right now. I don't believe you hear what I'm really trying to tell somebody. When you understand the mercies of God, all right, my brothers and sisters, and then begin to understand that every day they are new. His benefits are new. His mercies are new. And so every day, in every way, with every circumstance and situation that comes my way, God has a new mercy. Well, let's look at this. God's mercy reaches upward. Turn upward. God's mercy reaches Psalm 103:11 says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. God's mercy reaches upward. beyond man's exploration of outer space, beyond the kings and the presidents and the high-ups that sit up on the throne. God's mercy reaches upward. And one of the things that the scripture admonishes again in Psalm 136:26, oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. So that means no matter how high you are, no matter how high you are elevated, what your position is, what your place is, what kind of potentate you are, God has a mercy that reaches up to the highest of the highest. And thanks be to God for that, because there are different places in our lives and we are in many places of high esteem in our lives. And even yet, here's a word for these folk who may be in a high place right now. God's mercy is still available for you. You see, sometimes when we rise so high, we think we rise above certain things. But I've got news for you. You can't rise high enough to rise higher than the mercies of God. So not only does God's word, according to his word, his mercies reach upward, but I want you to see something else. God's mercy reaches downward. Psalm 136:23 says, who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. Why do you think God keeps on reminding us through his word that his mercy endureth forever? Can I tell you why? Because too many of us spend too much time in a miserable state. A state that we wouldn't stay in as long as we stay in it if we recognize that no matter what our miseries are, God has mercies for them. And see, when you stay in your miserable place too long, it does something to you, so much so that it begins to take you to even lower states and lower places, and it begins to devour you, your self-esteem, your self-worth, and the image that God has placed on the inside of you that represents him. So one of the things God wants his people to understand is his mercies are sufficient no matter what your position or your condition. His mercies reach downward. Because here again, my brothers and sisters, no matter how good you are, how righteous you are, you're going to have some down days. You're going to have some things that hit your life and knock you down. And you're going to realize sometimes that even though they knock you down, as Job's situation was one morning when he was ambushed with the unexpected and suffered all that he suffered, he was a righteous man by the words of God. There was none like him in all the earth. He loved God and hated evil, and yet he was knocked down by the circumstances of life, and God's mercies had to reach down to the righteous. So don't ever think just because you've been knocked down that it's because of some wrongdoing. It can be because you've been right. It's because you've been holding up the blood-stained banner. It's because you've been lifting up the name of the Lord. It's because you've been walking right. So don't think because you've been knocked down by situations and circumstances that the mercies of God does not reach down, because the record is when we were in our low estate. You know, and that place can be a very unusual place, because sometime in that lower state, you don't even want anybody around. You don't want to talk to nobody, don't want to see nobody, don't want to do anything, don't want to go anywhere. It seems as if your energy and your strength is zapped from you. You want to have a pity party and don't want to invite all three of yourselves. But that's not a place where God wants his people to be. And I want you to look again, because not only does God's mercy reach upward and God's word mercy reach downward, but God's mercy reaches inward. Look at the word again. Psalm 119, verse 76 and 77 says, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort. Let thy tender mercies come unto me. God's tender mercies reaches into the heart, the soul, the mind, and it brings comfort and contentment. See, there are some things that nothing but God's mercy can really comfort you with. His mercy that brings the peace that passes all understand. While stuff is still going on, storm is still raging, the mercies of God have within its own confines, once it gets underneath the skin, the ability to stabilize you. All right. When you should be falling all apart and your world is crumbling all around you, the comforting ministry of the Holy Ghost brings the mercies of God. And sometimes your soul looks back and wonder how I got over. Because it doesn't make any sense logically. You can't figure this thing out. You really can't put your hands on it. You've depleted all of your strength, and yet in your weakness, you're made strong. His grace is sufficient in every situation. And it can bring comfort and contentment. The fact that Paul says, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Here's what you need to know. If you can't do nothing about it anyhow, won't you just turn it over to the Lord? Why don't you just trust the Lord? Why don't you just believe the Lord? Why don't you know that God's got this thing fixed and he'd never put more on you than you could bear? And so his mercy reaches inwardly. And my brothers and sisters, God's mercy fills us with compassion and love on the inside. Cheers the bereaved and the brokenhearted, the downtrodden. You know, there are times in our lives when we lose loved ones, and it's not always to death. It could be someone who walked away from you and your heart was in their hand. It could be situations and circumstances where children have acted up and have gone astray and have been estranged from. It can be situations where you have lost certain loved ones and the pain is so difficult to bear that only the mercies of God can come in. And his compassion and his love, listen, covers a multitude. Thank God for the love. That even when they won't act right, you love them anyhow. When they won't do right, you love them anyhow. You love them with an unending love, an everlasting love, a true love like God loves us. And all of that comes inwardly when we are in those places where we seek that kind of mercy from God. Tender mercies reach inward, exchanging our sorrows for his joy. Our discontentment for his contentment. Our restlessness for his peace. See, one of the things that I love about the Lord is when we need those kind of mercies, I don't care how many folk call your phone. I don't care how many folk knock on your door. I don't care how many folk text you and email you and say to you, I'm with you and I'm by your side. And can't nobody but the Lord grant you this kind of mercy. And then lastly, his love and his mercy reaches outwardly. The Bible says, Psalm 119 and 64, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. God's mercy reaches outwardly. It extends outward, listen, to the whole world, to whosoever will. It reaches the great and the small, the black and the white, the rich and the poor, the educated and the ignorant. It reaches all. Amen. He has made clear in his word that he would that no man would perish. No man. Don't care who you are, what level you reside on, what your experiences are. Amen. He doesn't want one single person to perish. That's why his mercy is so extensive. Because not only does he give us salvation to be saved, he gives us mercy to stay saved. You catch that on your way home. Because here's the question. How many of you missed it so bad that since you've been saved, you know you deserve hell yet?
See, some of you acting like you're holier than thou, like since you've been saved, you never sinned, you never walked off the path, you never did anything wrong, you don't need the mercies of God. You know God's mercies, plural, in multiple areas of your life. If it weren't for the mercies of God, the loving kindness, the tenderness of his mercies, you would not be here today. And so I need you to know it's not just for you. He's seeking to give these mercies to whosoever. Not just to the saved and to the church, but he desires to share these mercies with whosoever will. All who repent of their sins, all who believe in Christ, all who give their lives to be saved and surrendered unto him and trust him, these mercies in all places, in all areas of their lives will bring them to the ever increasing reality that God has thought of everything you will ever have need of for every situation that hits your life. And here's what the believers ought to understand. God has already put in place everything for your success. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. It doesn't matter where you are on your journey. God has put everything in place for your success. And oh my God, how many times when we look back over our lives and thought this was the end? But it wasn't, because mercy stepped in. How many times had we reached the place where we didn't know which way to turn, didn't feel like making another step, but his mercy stepped in? How many times when our lives were so dark we couldn't even see our hands before our face, hearts were so broken and torn, lives were so shattered by our experiences, but mercy stepped in? And for the believer, for the saved, for those who trust God, for those who believe God, for those who know that the Lord will never leave them, nor will he ever forsake them, what a word! What a word! The measure of God's mercy is so full that there's nothing that could happen to our lives that God has not already taken care of. To God be the glory. The doors of the church are open. Whoever you are, my brother, my sister, today God wants us to know the measure of his mercy is so great to the believer that there's nothing that should happen in your life that you should not be content with knowing God's got this thing fixed. How he's going to fix it, when he's going to fix it, may not be the answers we have right now, but knowing he is going to do it should comfort us in such a wonderful way. If you're here today, my brother, my sister, and hear God calling you, just as you are, right where you are, would you get up and simply say, Lord, I come. I trust you. I believe in you. I know you've got this thing fixed. If he's calling you today, would you come? This is your time. This is your time. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Is there another today? Whoever you are, my brother, my sister, whatever your situation, your need, your desire is, God is faithful. God is faithful. You see, his mercy is designed to come in and fill in the gap, to do what you're unable to do, to meet you in that place of desolation, destitution, and bring you to a place that he desires you to function in. His love, his kindness, his tender mercies are available for you today, right here, right now. God is faithful. God is faithful. Is there another today? Is there another today?